I'm telling these tears go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I came.
What's up, Wisconsin? Happy Friday, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm glad it's Friday. It's been a busy week. Busy week, and certainly it's not going to be a Maggie Dawn Show if the show itself is not also busy. So let me give you all the rundown of the great show that we've got planned for you today. Of course, I'm joined by my wonderful producer and partner in this endeavor, Brian Kelly. If you do give us a call or text during the show, 855-752-4842, be real nice to him. Blame me for anything else that goes wrong. That's the way it goes. So always say hi to Fancy Brian. We call him Fancy Brian because his name, we spell with a Y. So does he. And we've got great guests today. I'm excited to start off the day with Professor Charles Franklin of the Marquette Law School poll. They just published a new one on Wednesday. We'll dig into that. And we just confirmed moments before I came on air that though we had to reschedule Representative Jim Clyburn of the 6th Congressional District in South Carolina, we're going to have him back today. They were kind enough to make time again for our little show here. He'll be joining us at 2:20. We've got Professor Ruth Ben-Ghiat of New York University. She is an expert on authoritarians. Seems, I don't know, possibly an appropriate topic of discussion these days at 3 o'clock. Of course, I'm going to be talking money. Got a real special guest. His name is Barry Lynn. We're going to be talking about lots of things. We'll even relate it to the Boeing strike, which started today. And last but not least, we got Terry Barr at 3:30, Civic Media's very own Terry Barr. We're going to talk about what's good, local, and overlooked. So keep it locked in, folks. We got a great show planned. And without further ado, let's jump right in. Welcome back, Professor Franklin. Great to have you here. Thank you for your continued wonderful work in polling. Wednesday was a new poll, and there was some movement, was there not?
There was a little bit. Thanks for having me back. We have the presidential race at 4-point lead for Harris, 52-48. That's true of both registered voters and likely voters. When we polled a month ago, after Biden dropped out, but before the Democratic convention, Trump led by 50-49 with registered voters, but Harris led by 50-49 again, but with likely voters, she was ahead. And when we threw in the third party candidate, she went up by 2 points. So this time she's up by 4 with both slices of registered and likely voters. That's a little bit of movement. Now, our poll was done beginning the week after the Democratic convention. So this is capturing the convention effect, if there was one, but it was completed before this week's debate. We'll be in the field next week with our post-debate poll.
So very important facts there about the timing of the poll. Just for us consumers of information, Professor, it's always good to actually pin down when was the poll out in the field. This one, again, post-DNC, but pre-debate. So were you at all, anything in this most recent set of polling numbers, Charles, that surprised you?
Well, I think we're seeing Harris doing a bit better than she did initially. There's been a little bit of an improvement, not just in the vote, but in favorability. Mm. Her favorability number went up. It's now 47 favorable, 51 unfavorable. So she's 4 points underwater on that. But Donald Trump is 13 points underwater. So, and that's an improvement from Harris. She was down in the low 40s in favorable a month ago, right after she got in the race. So that's an improvement. When we ask about a variety of traits like honest, intelligent, a good communicator, she's doing better than Trump on those. Trump still does better on, has a record of accomplishments. And the two are almost tied, but with Trump a shade ahead on being a strong leader. But Trump also has deficits on being too old by a lot compared to her, and also on having behaved corruptly, where more than 61% say that describes Trump. So all in all, a bit of an improvement across those measures, not just in the vote measure.
I think an interesting data point that you just noted there, Charles, was that would be a strong leader or is a strong leader. I think that's really interesting that you're seeing perhaps about a rough tie. And again, pre-debate, we'll see whether those numbers move much at all. My how times have changed, Charles, across those various qualitative factors that you ask about.
No, that's exactly right. And here the comparison with Biden is just pretty striking. You know, at the convention, Trump focused on strong leader in order to attack Biden for being weak. But now with Harris as the candidate, they're running pretty close to each other. Mm. Trump in his campaign events has attacked Harris as being low IQ, not smart. But on this measure, people see her as a little bit more intelligent than they see him. So these are things that are worth tracking because they're part of the campaign's rhetoric, mm-hmm. part of what they intend to convince voters on. And so we're looking to see whether voters follow along with that or whether they don't agree with the campaigns.
Yeah, again, interesting point of note that the two thematic attack lines, she's not a strong leader and she's dumb, don't seem to actually be showing up in any of the polling. Rhetorical, but perhaps that's why Donald Trump's campaign is encouraging him to not talk about those things so much.
Well, and because on the flip side, on the policy issues, those haven't changed as much
right.
since we switched candidates. Trump still has a pretty strong lead on better able to handle the economy, a strong lead on handling immigration and the border, and a substantial lead on handling the Israel-Hamas war. Those were the same strong areas for Trump against Biden. Harris has the lead on abortion policy especially, but also on health care, on Medicare and Social Security. Those were also Biden's strengths, but Harris is a little stronger on those than Biden was. And she's narrowed but not overtaken Trump on the first three that I talked about where Trump is stronger. So just what you would think, changing the candidates really has changed people's perceptions there, but it hasn't really changed the issues that much. The one thing to make a point of is that on what's the most important issue is still the economy by a big margin. But abortion policy has moved into second place here in Wisconsin, and immigration has been slowly but steadily eroding. It's now in third place, several points behind abortion policy.
Fascinating. Certainly, some of the commentary coming out of the debate was Vice President Harris's articulate and concise and clear, again, viewpoint on abortion, her ability to talk about it, frankly, and many commentators acknowledging that President Biden had a generational, it was hard for him to talk about abortion. He didn't have the ability to use those humanizing stories as the vice president did on the debate stage with the degree of effectiveness that she has been able to do. So it'll be interesting to follow this bouncing ball and see where it ends up as we go through these now less than 60 days to the election. Let me turn and ask you about the vice presidential nominees. Now we've got both nominees. You're able to do some head-to-head comparisons. What are you finding on the J.D. Vance, Tim Walz matchup?
Tim Walz is the one of these candidates who has a net positive favorability. He's 6 points more favorable than unfavorable, though 19% still say they haven't heard enough about him to have an opinion. With Vance, he's a net negative 10 points more unfavorable than favorable. And he's a little bit better known than Walz, but not that much. He's got 16% that don't have an opinion of Vance. So bottom line is, if you go down this list plus the third party candidates, Walz is the only one with a net favorable, followed by Harris with a little net negative. And then Vance and Trump are both around minus 10 or minus 13.
I also thought the polling about whether or not the choice of running mate was an excellent or good idea was an interesting comparison. Tell us about how that stacked up, Charles.
Yeah, and we asked these after the Republican convention. We asked about Vance. After the Democratic convention, we asked about Walz. 90% of Democrats say that Walz is an excellent or good choice. And in the Republican case, it was 75% of Republicans said that Vance was an excellent or good choice. So both parties are pretty unified behind their VP picks, but it is noticeable that Vance is 15 points seen better by Democrats than, Walz is 15 points better with Democrats than Vance is with Republicans.
I also thought the matchup of where the picks rated on sort of the, are they very liberal to very conservative? I thought this comparison was fascinating as well, Charles.
I think this is really interesting because the attacks on Harris and Walz are that they're extremely liberal and so on. People do see Harris as extremely liberal, but they see Trump as just as extremely conservative. There's not much difference, 1 point difference, honestly, between the two on that. But on the VP case, even more, 61% see Vance as very conservative. It's much lower. It's in the 50s, low 50s for Walz as very, very liberal. And a much bigger percentage see Walz as moderate rather than seeing Vance that way. So we talk a lot about Walz's record as governor in the progressive legislation that he signed, but we also talk about that Midwest dad who would stop and change your flat tire. At least so far, I think we're seeing Walz maintaining that Midwestern dad image rather than the very progressive Minnesota governor.
Yeah, I have been enjoying watching Tim Walz get interviewed because it reminds me of my family members, if I'm being totally candid. Listen, Charles, thank you so much for all you continue to do. After your next round of polling, which goes into the field next week, we'll be sure to have you back to check back in on where the numbers stand then.
That's great. I'm always happy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Professor. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. Here on the Civic Media Radio Network, we expect to have Representative James Clyburn joining us after these brief messages. He's one of my personal heroes. You're not going to want to miss this. He's been a lifelong resident of the 6th Congressional District and helped Biden edge to the top of the Democratic field in 2020. Keep it locked, folks. We'll be back with more here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't care about those people, man. I could care less what they think.